The Dream of a Ridiculous Man by Fyodor Dostoevsky, Chapter 2 and maybe 3. Chapter 2. You see, so nothing made any difference to me. I could feel pain, for instance, couldn't I? If anyone had struck me, I should have felt pain. The same was true so far as my moral perceptions were concerned. If anything happened to arouse my pity, I should have felt pity, just as I used to do at the time when things made a difference to me. So I had felt pity that night. I should most decidedly have helped a child. Why then did I not help the little girl? Because of the thought that had occurred to me at the time, when she was pulling at me and calling me, a question suddenly arose in my mind, and I could not settle it. It was an idle question, but it made me angry. What made me angry was the conclusion I drew from the reflection that if I had really decided to do away with myself that night, everything in the world should have been more indifferent to me than ever. Why then should I have suddenly felt that I was not indifferent and be sorry for the little girl? I remember that I was very sorry for her, so much so that I felt a strange pang which was quite incomprehensible in my position. I'm afraid I am unable better to convey that feeling, fleeting sensation of mine, but it persisted with me at home when I was sitting at the table, and I was very much irritated. I had not been so irritated for a long time past. One train of thought followed another. It was clear to me that so long as I was still a human being and not a meaningless object, until I became a cipher, I was alive, and consequently able to suffer, be angry, and feel shame at my actions. Very well. But if, on the other hand, I were going to kill myself in, say, 2 hours, what did that little girl matter to me, and what did I care for shame or anything else in the world? I was going to turn into a cipher, into an absolute cipher. And surely the realization that I should soon cease to exist altogether, and hence everything would cease to exist, ought to have had some slight effect on my feeling of pity for the little girl, or on my feelings of shame after so mean an action. Why, after all, did I stamp and shout so fiercely at the little girl? I did it because I thought that not only did I feel no pity, but that it wouldn't matter now if I were guilty of the most inhuman baseness, since in another 2 hours everything would become extinct. Do you believe me when I tell you that that was the only reason why I shouted like that? I am almost convinced of it now. It seemed clear to me that life and the world in some way or other depended on me now. It might almost be said that if the world seemed to be created for me alone, if I were to shoot myself, the world would cease to exist, for me at any rate. To say nothing of the possibility that nothing would in fact exist for anyone after me, and the whole world would dissolve as soon as my consciousness became extinct, would disappear in a twinkling like a phantom, like some integral part of my consciousness, and vanish without leaving a trace behind. For all this world and all these people exist perhaps only in my consciousness. I remember that as I sat and meditated, I began to examine all these questions which thronged in my mind one after another from a quite different angle, and thought of something quite new. For instance, the strange notion occurred to me that if I had lived before on the moon or on Mars, and had committed there the most shameful and dishonourable action that can be imagined, and had been so disgraced and dishonoured there as can be imagined, and experienced only occasionally in a dream, a nightmare, and if, finding myself afterwards on Earth, I had retained the memory of what I had done on the other planet, and moreover knew that I should never have, in any circumstances, go back there. If that were to have happened, should I, or should I not have felt, as I looked from the earth upon the moon, that it made no difference to me? Should I or should I not have felt ashamed of that action? The questions were idle and useless, for the gun was already lying before me, and there was not a shadow of doubt in my mind that it was going to take place for certain, but they excited and maddened me. It seemed to me that I could not die now without having settled something first. The little girl, in fact, had saved me, for by his questions I put off my own execution. Meanwhile, things had grown more quiet in the captain's room. They had finished their card game and were getting ready to turn in for the night, and now were only grumbling and swearing at each other in a half-hearted sort of way. It was at that moment that I suddenly fell asleep in my armchair at the table, a thing that had never happened to me before. I fell asleep without being aware of it at all. Dreams, as we know them, are very curious things. Certain incidents in them are presented with quite uncanny vividness, each detail executed with the finishing touch of a jeweller, while others you leap across as though entirely unaware of, for instance, space and time. Dreams seem to be induced not by reason, but by desire, not by the head, but by the heart. And yet, what clever tricks my reason has sometimes played upon me in dreams. And furthermore, what incomprehensible things happen to it in a dream. My brother, for instance, died 5 years ago. I sometimes dream about him. He takes a keen interest in my affairs. We are both very interested, and yet I know very well all through my dream that my brother is dead and buried. How is it that I am not surprised that, though dead, he is here beside me, doing his best to help me? Why does my reason accept all this without the slightest hesitation? But enough. Let me tell you about my dream. Yes, I dreamed that dream that night. My dream of the 3rd of November. They are making fun of me now by saying that it was only a dream. But what does it matter, whether it was a dream or not, so long as that dream revealed the truth to me? For once you have recognized the truth and seen it, you know it is the only one truth, and that there can be no other, whether you are asleep or awake. But never mind. Let it be a dream. But remember that I had intended to cut short by suicide the life that means so much to us, and that my dream, oh, it revealed to me a new, grand, regenerated, strong life. Listen.